Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. Kelly Brogan is our guest. She wrote the book, if you will, A Mind of Your Own, The Truth About Depression, How Women Can Heal Their Bodies to Reclaim Their Lives, published by HarperCollins. Kelly Brogan is a psychiatrist who is board certified in that, as well as in psychosomatic medicine and integrative holistic medicine. She's on the faculty of George Washington, but practices in New York City, and she lives in Connecticut with her family. We'll find out a little more about that. But she has as the thesis of this book, at least as I read it, that many women diagnosed with depression aren't really depressed, and that isn't really the problem. That is, depression isn't a diagnosis, it's a symptom, and that most people who are given or prescribed antidepressants really don't have depression, but have something else. That is, don't have a disease relating to mental illness, but have something else, and that many different physical conditions create the symptoms. And if you will, the best way to heal the mind is to heal the whole body. Kelly, did I get part of that right, at least?
Wow, I'm going to take you on tour. That was perfect. Yes, it's exactly right. And it's, you know, informed by much of my personal experience and also about, you know, 10 years of clinical practice, reversing the symptoms of depression and anxiety, you know, by entering through the body. And so that's exactly what you described, yes.
So what I took from the book, in addition to that, and by the way, the book is called A Mind of Your Own. Her website is kellybroganmd.com. The book is available at Amazon and other sites through Amazon as well as on their own. But what I took was that a lot of people, and to me it was amazing, it was eye-opening, I didn't realize this, but that women in their reproductive age, where it's probably most at risk to get a antidepressant, something that affects their mind as well as their child's mind, that one in four of them are on an antidepressant.
Yeah, that's right. That was actually my formal conventional training, because I am a very conventionally trained psychiatrist who just sort of took a left turn, you know, after my fellowship. But my formal training was in actually prescribing psychiatric medications to pregnant and breastfeeding women, and to help them understand the available risks and the, you know, perceived benefits. But, you know, when I was in my fellowship, I happened to also be pregnant, and I remember sort of having this little voice inside me that said, you know, I know all this literature, but I'm not sure I would ever feel comfortable taking one of these medications. I'm just not sure we're asking the right questions when we're doing safety research. And it wasn't until about 9 months after my own pregnancy that I developed Hashimoto's thyroiditis, postpartum thyroiditis. And that same little voice said, you know, I don't want to take a prescription synthetic hormone for the rest of my life. And, you know, I engaged my journey, and within 6 months had reversed my Hashimoto's. You know, I had antibodies in the high 2000s, and, you know, within 6 months of changing my lifestyle, specifically my diet, I was able to put into remission, you know, what otherwise would have been a chronic illness. And it made me sort of ask questions about what I had learned in my training, you know, in my 1 hour of nutrition education in my conventional training, and to apply those questions to researching, you know, the available literature that I hadn't heard about in my training when it comes to antidepressants, their efficacy, their safety. And it really convinced me that, you know, they really should be almost last line interventions, and that as physicians, right, we're supposed to first do no harm. And so if we have potentially effective methods of entering into the conversation about depression to investigate what might be causing it, like, you know, low thyroid function, like a single nutrient deficiency like B12 deficiency, like a specific food reaction to gluten or dairy, for example, or, you know, whether it's something that has to be addressed in terms of your stress response, you know, whether it's actually an expression of mismatch with your lifestyle because not able to prioritize sleep or exercise or sun exposure. You know, I'm very interested in asking the question, why, as I know you are, right? You know, why is the patient having these symptoms? It's not taught in our conventional training to ask that question.
Now, let's go into, you have some pet peeves, and one of them, at least, is mine, which is acid reflux medications.
Yes.
And specifically protein pump inhibitors. Tell us why it's a pet peeve of yours.
Yeah, so for example, you know, there's a patient who might come in, and I see women of reproductive 20s, 30s, early 40s, and I might see a patient who has been on, you know, Zoloft maybe for 5 or 6 years. And when I trace back her history of why she's on it, she'll tell me, you know, that she was put on a proton pump inhibitor because she just always had this burning sensation after she ate. And it was about, you know, 6 months after, of course, we know that these medications are not approved for long-term use. Nonetheless, you know, 6 months after she began it, she just began to feel really flat, get full, you know, might have even had some other physical symptoms like sort of tingling and numbness, maybe a little imbalance. And then she was prescribed an antidepressant, you know, for the distress that she was experiencing around these symptoms. And, of course, it's a perfect example of not getting to the root cause, which is a dietary mismatch, right? So I find that wheat, the proteins in wheat can very often trigger the symptoms of acid reflux. So can, you know, poor acid secretion actually in the setting of some low thyroid function. These are reversible causes of poor digestion. And instead of, you know, entering at that level, when you just paper it over with a symptom-reducing medication, you can end up causing deficiencies, B12 deficiency, which has, you know, vast documentation as being related to the symptoms of depression. And, you know, it'd be one thing if antidepressants were, you know, safe and effective. But unfortunately, in my deep dive into the literature, what I found was anything but. And my concerns about the risks are primarily that we just don't have any way of predicting who is going to suffer some of the actually very severe and potentially dangerous side effects, including violence and impulsivity. And also the question of long-term usage is complicated by the fact that the long-term outcomes are not good for antidepressants, that people actually don't do better long-term when they are treated versus not. So we really don't want to miss these opportunities to reverse the cause safely and effectively.
Now, one of the other things that we talked about earlier today was a medical study showing that burnout, this was largely in men, because they studied men in the study, that the burnout was a sign of depression, and that in men, that at least, that burnout and depression are symptoms of the same thing, and that healing the body, as you put it, is useful. Is that true in women? Do women have burnout like guys in the same way, and it's really a symptom of something wrong with the body?
Oh, I would say absolutely. I mean, you know, the conventional model of medicine, right, is really set up around this idea that the only thing that matters is that your symptoms go away and that you maintain functioning, right? It's a very sort of an American way of being. But the truth is that many of us, say it again?
That was just a cue that we have about 45 seconds left in this segment. So we've got
okay.
to finish up the
segment.
Yeah.
So you know, it often is an expression of a lifestyle mismatch that we need to examine. And we feel like we don't have the time to examine it, but sometimes it's the most important thing to consider is just a good look at where we can mitigate some of the stress that we're being exposed to.
So when we come back, we will talk to Kelly Brogan, author of this fascinating book, A Mind of Your Own, The Truth About Depression, How Women Can Heal Their Bodies to Reclaim Their Lives. We're going to talk about her 30-day plan, and I'm going to talk about milk, which I agree with her on, and red meat, which I disagree with her on. We'll put those questions to her on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
This is Dr. Mike, and we're talking to Kelly Brogan, B-R-O-G-A-N, the author of this fascinating book, A Mind of Your Own, The Truth About Depression and How Women Can Heal Their Lives, heal their bodies to reclaim their lives. Why do I keep getting that wrong, Kelly?
It's a mouthful, that's why.
So tell me, you've got a 30-day plan, and tell me the basics of the 30-day plan. I actually read the book. I have a crazy belief that interviewers should read the books before they am. So part of the problem I have is in asking questions that I already know where the answer is. But in any case, our listeners don't. Tell us the essence of the plan.
Yeah. So when I put down my prescription pad about 3 years ago, I stopped starting patients on psychiatric medications. I really forefronted the dietary piece in my practice, and I find that when this is a serious prescription, the results can be, you know, mind blowing. I mean, I have patients who come in, you know, having 6 panic attacks a day on multiple medications that are not working, and literally within a month, their panic. One woman I'm thinking of in particular, panic attacks resolved in 30 days, and really all that we were doing was stabilizing her blood sugar through a dietary shift. So again, sort of have to remember all of these physiologic reasons for what we are calling psychiatric pathology, including things like panic attacks.
So one of the things is diet.
Yeah.
Now, some of the people I see say, you know, that's just too tough a diet.
Right.
And I say, you know, you've got bad symptoms. You might as well try this. And they say, no, that's too tough. What do you do then?
A lot of people wonder how my patients possibly could, you know, motivate themselves, especially when they're feeling so badly. And, you know, I think it's because, you know, I can transfer a level of enthusiasm for how often I have seen this work, and it's also worked for me personally. And in a very short period of time, I mean, many of my patients have been basically trashing their bodies for, you know, 3 decades, and the fact that we can turn this ship around in the space of a month is really a gift. So it's not for everyone. You know, this path is not for everyone. But if you, you know, somewhere inside yourself believe that there could be a way out and not just a quick fix, and that the way out could actually look like not only resolving your symptoms, but actually, you know, myriad side benefits, right? So I have patients who come in because they're feeling depressed and they want to feel less depressed, but then actually through the program, they end up losing weight, they end up getting their libido back, they feel sharper, their hair looks shinier, you know, there's all of these side benefits. So it's really a way to press the reset button. And it's a menu, you know, what's in this book is a menu for total transformation for a next chapter, not just so that you can get back to work and keep surviving. So I really do feel that the dietary piece is the most important pillar to take very seriously. And actually, this diet is not that hard. It's actually, you know, I'm not asking for a 30-day juice cleanse.
It isn't that hard. And so let's get into one or two specifics on it, one of which is you avoid dairy and milk products, at least initially.
Yes.
And that includes yogurt and includes all of the dairy products, both full fat and skim, et cetera. Tell us why and what it is about the protein in dairy that caused you to do that.
Yeah, so there are two kinds of proteins, casein and gliadin or gluten, that have amassed some literature in the realm of psychiatry as being relevant potential triggers for a lot of psychiatric symptoms. And we understand actually that when these are metabolized, specifically casein from cow dairy, it actually has direct effects on the brain through what are called opiate receptors. So, you know, people obviously have been consuming dairy products for about 10,000-15,000 years, but the problem is that we have been pasteurizing it and homogenizing it. We've been processing it in a way that changes it so that our immune systems are confused. You know, they're confused and they react. And so much of the literature that I explore actually looks at depression as immune and inflammatory problem. And so if we can remove foods that are potentially triggering the immune system, and believe me, it's not likely to be very easy, because if you're anything like me, you know, coming off of dairy was almost like a detox because many of us are actually quite addicted to it. And I know that feeling very well, believe me. So I asked people to take out a lot of these addictive foods, including sugar, wheat products, and dairy at a very minimum. But then I'm also asking for a few more things, mostly just to clear the slate because, you know, I really like dramatic outcomes. I'm actually quite an impatient person by nature. So I want, you know, there to be a measurable change in 30 days. And so I found that the template for this diet actually results in that the vast majority of the time.
Now, the one thing I want to go after you on is red meat. So the carnitine, lecithin, and choline in red meat and egg yolks. And those are recommended in the book. So the book I agree with almost entirely, but those things are cause trimethylamine oxide, which your body changes to TMAO, which is the most inflammatory thing we know from, at least is as inflammatory as anything else we know in diet. You still recommend red meat, and I was wondering, even though it's grass-fed red meat, you recommend why you do that?
Yes, I think this is a great question. You know, I was a vegetarian for many years, and actually have a very strong ethical leaning toward vegetarianism. And it wasn't actually until I was recommended a red meat inclusive diet that I was able to engage this sort of healing journey that I described earlier. I certainly have no attachment to the idea that everyone is supposed to have the same diet. In fact, you know, I'm a longtime follower of Weston A. Price's work, you know, the dentist who traveled the world, collecting data on how we could all, these indigenous people could all eat very, very different foods and actually maintain a degree of health that to the average American is completely, you know, fantastical. But I do feel that for this population, for the population who struggles with the symptoms that I'm describing, including things like reactive hypoglycemia, including things like autoimmunity, hypothyroidism, depression, anxiety, that this population, actually this diet is a critical fit, and the red meat component actually is difficult to avoid. From a health perspective, I mean, you and I could debate probably all day long the potential flaws in a lot of the research that has epidemiologically demonstrated, you know, the negative effects of red meat, not the least of which is because these studies are done with industrial animals, right? So industrial animals fed genetically modified feed, injected with antibiotics standing in their own feces, you know, and they're fundamentally a different food than it was in our natural ancestry. So I actually have found that for a population, it is in a very critical fit therapeutically, but I certainly have no interest in arguing that it's, you know, it's right for every single person.
We've been talking with Kelly Brogan, A Mind of Your Own, a wonderful book talking about depression. If you're suffering or have the symptoms of depression relating to a lot of other things, so it can be caused by a whole mess of other things, is what Kelly Brogan comes, it's a symptom, and this is a plan, a 4-week plan to get you healthy again.